With the pandemic, we saw there is a huge increase in terms of like needs for disinfection, especially in hospitals, right? And so we designed and developed a brand new UV disinfection robot.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Robot Industry Podcast. My guest for this edition is Tuck Vu, who's the CEO of OmniLabs in Santa Clara, California. They're a telepresence and mobile robots as a service company. He previously founded Katango and Tappy, which were acquired by Google and by Weebly.co, respectively. Tuck has a deep expertise in game theory, machine learning, tournament design, and multi-agent systems. He earned his PhD from Stanford and a Bachelor of Science from Carnegie Mellon, both in computer science. In 2017, Tuck was named as one of the 40 under 40 of Silicon Valley by the Silicon Valley Business Journal for his tireless efforts to bring about a significantly positive impact in the business world. Hey, welcome to the podcast, Tuck.
Hello, Jim. It's good to be here today.
Yes, thank you for joining us. And today we're going to do something kind of fun. We're going to have a bit of a virtual tour of your facility using one of your robots. And I just started learning how to drive, and unfortunately, I was crashing into the walls. So we're going to let you not crash into walls. So can you tell our audience what is a telepresence robot?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can think of it as like a Zoom on wheel. So basically, it's a robot with a screen and a mobile base that allow you to dial in remotely from anywhere in the world over the internet. Your face will show up on the screen, and you can control the robot to drive around and have two-way video and audio communication with the other side. And so you might ask, like, what's the difference between this versus, you know, FaceTime or Zoom, right? But it's actually a completely different experience. Basically, with our telepresence robot, you have the full control, mobility independence. And so, you know, you can initiate the call. You don't have to wait for someone to pick up your call. You don't have to ask someone to put you, you know, on an iPhone, right, on an iPad and move around with it. You can actually do all the moving yourself. And, you know, you're not just like stuck on a screen, right? And so it's actually make the communication a lot easier and more engaging.
So simple, really.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit more about the company? Like, how did you get started?
Yeah, we started OmniLabs in 2015. Jared, my CTO and co-founder, and I, we went to Carnegie Mellon together. And we did a lot of research projects in robotics. And so our general interest was in this field. And so in 2015, when we got together, we were looking at the space, right? And one thing we realized was that even though the promise of robots helping people, making the world a better place, have been around for like decades. But you don't see robots running around doing tests, right? Only, you know, some robots in the manufacturing, industrial setting, and, you know, sort of having the stigma of taking away jobs. And so we wanted to change all of that by making robots that can be deployed in social settings, like in hospitals, restaurants, in the home, schools, right, so that they can do different tasks and, you know, bring value to our end users. And so that's how we started OmniLabs.
And we're going to do this fun thing that we talked about in the intro, but where you're going to actually give us a little bit of a tour. And now for our audience that are listening as a podcast, they're not going to hear this. So we're going to have you both drive and kind of narrate a little bit. So why don't you share your screen, and you're going to log into one of your robots. This is the one that I crashed into the wall and crashed into your plexiglass door before we started. So I'm going to expect that you won't crash as much as I did.
Yep, absolutely.
And this is your factory in California that we're going to be touring, right? Using your telepresence robot.
That's correct. So this is our lab and also our manufacturing space. One thing really interesting about our robots is that they are all made in USA. You know, one of the very few companies can truly say that. We use a farm of 3D printers to print out the parts, and then we assemble them all in here in Silicon Valley. So can you see my screen now?
I can.
Yeah, great. So what are you looking at is the camera view, the front-facing camera of the robot. And so basically allowing you to see what the robots are seeing and then heading. And then, you know, at the bottom, in the middle, you can see a smaller view of the floor so that you can avoid obstacles. And then you can see some of these arrows that's showing the direction that the robots are going. With our robots, you can actually control it by many different ways. You can use joysticks, you can use your laptop, iPhone, iPad, you know, to control the robot. Right now, I'm using my keyboard, and you know, I can turn around 360 degree. I can actually look up and down, and you know, the robot can look all the way up to the ceiling, all the way down to the floor. And so, yeah, the range of view is quite large.
And so I'm just going to describe a little bit of what I'm seeing for those folks at home. So we're seeing the big view of the facility, and we're seeing robots on the right-hand side, robots at the front. You've got a lot of robots, as well as a desk and a big screen in the back. And, you know, fairly open space, and I assume that's kind of for this ability to do demonstrations.
Yeah, absolutely. And these are the UV disinfection robots that you are seeing that, you know, lying here on the right-hand side, getting ready to be shipped out.
And what types of parts are you manufacturing using 3D technology at your place? Like, are they wheels or are they the casements? What type of parts?
Yeah, so we tend to use the 3D printers to print out the complex parts, you know, the parts that have intricate design or, you know, have a complex structure that can support more weight on the robot. In terms of the wheels, you know, like, or things that, you know, sort of like commoditized, we just use either buying off the shelf or use injection molding for those. And so this is the way that we can combine in, you know, the best of both worlds, right? With the injection molding and 3D printing.
I assume it's a business decision to say, right, this is a low volume part, so we're going to print it ourselves versus, like you say, we're going to buy this. It's a commodity. We can buy it very inexpensively and maybe better than we can make it ourselves.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah. And then, you know, we decide on this in a way that, you know, optimize for cost, but also speed, right?
Yes. And so what's very cool is that you're using your own technology for your own and demoing it right here on the internet, right? And so it's very simple to, I think once you know the layout of your facility, to be able to drive around.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just show you the zoom capability, right? You can actually zoom in to look more closely at different, you know, either the boards or like the parts or the machine. So the parts come out, you know, on tray like this, and it's getting carried down the line through the manufacturing floor. We have four or five different production lines set up in this facility so that, you know, you can make different parts and then different lines, different robotics products as well.
So you've got the line of telepresence robots, but you also have a line of UV disinfectant robots that I've assumed you've just launched these recently.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, well, with the pandemic, we saw there is a huge increase in terms of like needs for disinfection, especially in hospitals, right? And so we designed and developed a brand new UV disinfection robot, best in the market right now, working with Stanford Hospitals, you know, with a couple other partners, and spent a lot of time field testing this product. And so, yeah, so far we got really good feedback from all of our partners and testers. People love our solution.
And Tuk, what is the market size for telepresence robots and for these UV disinfectant robots?
Yeah, so the market size for telepresence, people estimating that it will increase to, you know, about $1 billion in the next 5 years. And for the UV disinfection, it's an explosive market. People are projecting it to be growing from 200 million in 2019 to over 5.5 million by 2027. You know, wow. Significant growth. Just because the need is just like so strong right now for this type of product.
So I can see the immediate need, right? I can be anywhere in the world and I can see I can kind of meet people. I can see what's happening on the outside of production. I get a big view and I can go wherever I want to go.
Yeah.
But what are some of the other benefits of telepresence?
So actually, we have seen an explosion of new use cases of the telepresent robot, especially after the pandemic, right? One thing really cool about our robot is that basically it's taking away the physical distance. So you can be, you know, instantly somewhere else without the need for flying. And so you can imagine that you'd be sitting in the comfort of your home, say in California, and then dial into a robot in Paris to go shopping, right? And then talk to, like, you know, the sales rep, looking at items just like you're there. And then once you've done shopping, you can dial into a robot in the museum to check out the latest exhibition, and then go visit your parents, you know, the different place, spend some time with them, and then, you know, lock out room, you're just back to your home. So all of this can be done, you know, within an hour, right? Which is amazing. And so that's what we've seen people using our robot for.
I can imagine the social benefits are just huge when I think of aging parents, parents maybe who are not so good with phones or with Google or any other technology.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. And not just, you know, like in terms of like getting people together, we've seen companies using our robots for their manufacturing floor as well, right? Let's say you have a customer that needs to check out the production line, you know, approve changes, or, you know, looking at, you know, different processes, right? And with the COVID situation, sometimes it's hard to travel. And our robot is just a perfect solution for that. Because now the customers can just use a robot to drive around and looking at, you know, for example, like what we're doing right here, right? That's a production line.
And can you talk a little bit about, I think one of the huge value propositions of your technology is connecting patients to other people, whether it's a doctor or a specialist or even some other person in the medical field. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So when the pandemic happened, you know, several hospitals actually acquired a large fleet of our robots to help connect their patients with family members, and especially COVID patients in quarantine, right? You know, some of the people you might have heard all the heartbreaking stories of people passing away without even being able to say goodbye to their loved ones. And so we're glad that we could have connecting the patients with the family members. And then the other way around, you know, children hospitals have been using a robot to allow, you know, these children patients to actually, you know, go outside, right?
Sure.
Because, you know, some of them are stuck in the patient rooms. You know, they feel lonely and, you know, excluded from the normal activity. But, you know, the hospitals and some of the schools have been deploying our robots, you know, within the normal social setting, like at school, right? So that the children, these patient children, children patient can go to class and, you know, join their friends and hang out with their friends. You know, always have, we always see like big smiles from the children. So, you know, make it all worthwhile.
Yeah, I bet kids would love this technology because it's, they'll be driving it in minutes, right?
Right. And then this is like, you know, playing a video game in the real life for them, right? You know, they can, you know, racing down the hall and you're hanging out with their friends. And so, yeah, it's just, yeah, a lot of fun for them.
Yeah, there's not only just fun, but there's a bit of education and a bit of entertainment. Like there's, it's kind of a nice little package. What are some of the big challenges that you face in the industry? Is it communication protocols or Wi-Fi or?
Yeah, so basically, we developed the entire technology stack for our robots. And so we have a lot of, you know, sort of like ways to, you know, for us to fix, you know, some of these challenges. For example, like the chip shortage, right? You know, during last year, there was a huge disruption in the chip industry. And, you know, we had to mobilize and quickly come up with a new design for our boards, you know, to reduce the dependency on the chips. That's one thing. And, you know, I think in terms of robotics and hardware, right, it's always a very difficult area because there's so many different technologies that need to get together and work well together, right, to deliver that value. So I think that's always, you know, the challenge is how to make everything work.
Yes, of course. And so where are you finding a lot of the interest in your in the robots? Is it manufacturing? Is it at home? Is it in the hospitals? Or is it just a little bit of everywhere?
Yeah, so right now, what we've seen so far is the healthcare, you know, the industry, and education and business. So those are the three, you know, main verticals for us. For example, the UV disinfection robots have been in very high demand, especially for operating room, right? Because, you know, hospital would need to have like a terminal clean of the operating room before they can admit the next patient. And, you know, our robot can really cut down the time to make sure that it's safe. But also, you know, the ability to audit the cleaning work is actually very important, because you want to know, you know, like, you know, the room has been cleaned and, you know, all the spots, make sure that all the spots are, you know, like germ free, right? And so, you know, that's something that we've seen a lot of demand for.
And I had a note to, and we kind of chatted in the pre-call about data and kind of the importance of data. And what kind of data are you gathering, and how do you store it or share it, or where's the value there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, privacy and security are two, you know, very important topics for us. And so we try to not storing any sensitive and private information from our user. We do collect usage data, you know, like how long the robots have been driven for, right? You know, call time. Of course, you know, all anonymized so that we can keep the statistic. And then on the other hand, you know, like we also have like autonomy. Basically, the robots have the ability to navigate around the space by itself, avoiding obstacles, you know, remembering the route. For example, like the UV disinfection robot, the operator can actually just set out, you know, like the route to clean, and the robot will just repeat that, you know, whenever it gets into that room. And so those kind of things, we do need to collect data, but of course, with the permission of the user.
And I imagine that a telepresent robot, like let's say I owned a big factory or a warehouse, and I just wanted to do a security sweep, I suppose that's one of the things where autonomy makes a lot of sense.
Yep, definitely.
And so what are some of the future trends? Like you're in the midst of this exploding market, but you must also be thinking a little bit about, okay, what's next? Is it bigger batteries or higher resolution cameras or other sensors?
Yeah, so for us, the way we think about the robotics space is that, you know, to truly make a robot useful, right, and, you know, have mass adoption, the values of the robots need to be higher than the cost of the robots to the user, right? And so we've been thinking a lot about how do we improve the value, right, of the robots, basically allowing it to do, you know, more interesting and complicated tasks, for example, for the user. So in order to do that, the robot needs to have a couple of things. One is the mobility, the autonomy that, you know, we have already built. So that's done. The next one is the perception, the understanding. The robots need to be able to understand the environment they operate in, right? You know, need to understand, you know, what kind of objects are they seeing? You know, is that a person, you know, that they approaching, right? Is that person, what are the persons doing, you know, anything abnormal, or does that person need help? And so that part is, you know, the next milestone. And then the third one is the sort of like the manipulator of the robot. How can the robot, you know, manipulate objects in the environment? So we have some prototype for a robotics arm, also 3D printed, so, which is, you know, really exciting, that allowing the robots to move around objects and interact with objects in the environment. So these are the sort of the roadmap that we have in mind in order to make the robots become a lot more useful for our users.
I imagine that there's a lot of people out here who will be thinking about their elderly parents and about putting a robot into their house so they can, like, it's one thing to talk to your parents or parents-in-law. It's quite another thing to actually see them and see the environment and see what's happening. So I kind of imagine that there's a lot of people who will be very interested to look at OmniLabs and go, hey, what does this look like? And so this is a segue to another question that I have. How do people buy your robot? Do they go through dealers? Do they buy them from your website? How does that happen?
Yeah, they can buy the robots directly from our website, which is, you know, ohmnilabs.com, O-H-M-N-I, labs with an S.com. And, you know, you can just buy them directly from the store. Or, you know, just reach out to us and, you know, send us an email or fill out the form. We're always here to help.
And so then you just literally, I order the robot. Is there any options or is it pretty much a standard telepresence robot if that's one of the things I'm buying?
It is right now a standard robot, but, you know, we have the ability to really customize the robot to the need of our, you know, customer because of the 3D printing, right? And so, you know, if you have some special ideas or projects in mind, please do reach out and we can, you know, chat more.
Oh, and that's really, really interesting. And have we forgotten anything in our conversation today?
No, I think we covered pretty much everything. I haven't had a chance to drive into the 3D printing factory
yet. Oh, well,
yet.
Let's do that.
Yeah, so let me do a quick view of
that. I'm assuming
that
there's a charge pad that comes with your robot.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, you can see, yeah, actually, there's one right here that I can show you. Very small, compact. And, you know, the robot will, when you get close and then, you know, you press a button, the robot will navigate itself to find the dock and to, you know, charge itself.
And what? How long does the charge last typically, too?
Typically, it would last for 3 to 5 hours, you know, enough for you to have a meaningful conversation.
Sure.
Even watch a movie or a game together. Yeah, we've seen quite a few of that as well.
As long as the kids aren't playing with the robot too much, right?
Yeah. So here, right here, we the robot just find itself to the dock and you know, start charging.
Will the robot automatically go to dock at, or do you have to manually do that too?
So automatically. So if you, you know, go close enough to the dock and you can just press a button like what I just did.
Yep.
And the robot will actually navigate itself to the dock.
So right now we're going into your 3D printing lab.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So these are the 3D printers. We have rows and rows of them. We design and build these printers ourselves so that, you know, we can have improve on the finish, on the yield, and, you know, make it easier for us to do maintenance. And we can actually customize the size of the printers as well.
Wow, that's great. So you not only build the robots, but you build your own 3D printing robots.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And the 3D printers are printing the next batch of 3D printers as well, right? And so
so on it goes. So how many 3D printers do you have?
We have over 100 printers now that we have in this facility.
Are you hiring as well? Is that a challenge for you in Southern California?
We are hiring, and so answer it yes, right? You know, it's always hard to find talents. Luckily, we have been able to find a lot of great people joining our team.
That's great. And what kind of talent are you typically looking for? Is this, I assume, a lot of programmers, vision people, this kind of thing?
Yes, across the board. So, you know, mechanical engineers, roboticists, electrical engineers, yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you very much for the tour and thank you for coming on to the podcast today for sharing your screen. I really appreciate it. I know we've been waiting a little while to go ahead and do this, but it's been my pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for having me and thanks for joining us at our office.
Our sponsor for this episode is Earhart Automation Systems. Earhart builds and commissions turnkey automation solutions for their worldwide clients. With over 80 years of precision manufacturing, they understand the complex world of robotics, automated manufacturing, and project management, delivering world-class custom automation on time and on budget. Contact one of their sales engineers to see what Earhart can build for you. And I'd also like to thank and acknowledge our partner, A3, the Association for Advancing Automation. They're the leading trade association for robotics, vision and imaging, motion control and motors, and the artificial intelligence technologies. Visit automate.org to learn more. And I'd like to thank our partner, Painted Robot. Painted Robot builds and integrates digital solutions. They're a web development firm that offers SEO, digital, social marketing, and can set up and connect CRM and other ERP tools to unify marketing, sales, and operations. And you can find them at paintedrobot.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us at the Robot Industry Podcast, you can find me, Jim Beretta, on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there. And today's podcast was produced by Customer Attraction Industrial Marketing. And I'd like to thank my nephew, Chris Gray, for the music, my partner, Janet, our partners, A3 and Painted Robot, and our sponsor, Earhart Automation Systems. Thank you, Turk.
All right. Thank you, Jim.